What else?
We've just celebrated a holiday. And I just wanted to throw this in light of that. We had kind of that type of a message last Sunday. We talked about freedom, particularly our freedom from a spiritual standpoint that comes through Jesus Christ. But this idea of independence, I wanted to look at just a little bit closer. This actual passage that we will be in today, and it isn't the passage I read at the beginning, it's John chapter 15. I actually spoke on this passage at the beginning of the year, towards the beginning of the year. And so we've been here, and again, I do not plan to make this a very long message. It can be very concise and very short, providing I stay on task and the Holy Spirit doesn't take me in different directions. Independence Day. It's a day that may be many things to different people and different aspects of it, but at the foundation of it, we call it Independence Day because our founding fathers, our forefathers, our founding fathers came together and they made a decision to, for the 13 original colonies, to leave Great Britain and form their own nation, to form the United States of America. Now, there's a lot to that, but it is a declaration that we are now an independent nation from the nation of England, from the nation of Great Britain. We want to be our own nation. Without your control, we want to... How many times have we heard the young child say, "I want to do it myself"? How many times as adults do we say, "I want to do it myself"? It is a very special day for this country that we've just celebrated in that independence. No longer are you going to control us, we told England. No longer are we going to be your subjects under your control. We will be independent from you. You will no longer rule our lives. We will form our own government, and we will allow people to make their own choices and their own decisions. For the most part, we think that that was a good thing, right? We believe that what happened back then was a positive thing that framed, began to frame this country and to make it what it is today. And when I mentioned last week, when Ben Franklin says, told a lady that we've formed a republic, if you can keep it, we've probably been struggling with keeping it ever since it was formed, right? But we're in large fight and battle today, and you know, are we even truly a republic anymore? But I'm not getting into the politics of that. I'm not going to argue with anybody about any of that for right now. For the most part, we think so strongly about this that we and many before us were willing to give up even their lives. The countless number of men and women who put their lives on the line. And you read the stories about the Revolutionary War and what our men went through, our soldiers went through. Not very well equipped and in very hostile environmental conditions in many instances, and against an army that was well armed and manned and powerful in every respect. But they were willing to give it all for this independence, for this freedom that we so much covet even today. Many died to secure it, and many have died to keep it. We have found that it was so important to us that once we attained it, that we would keep it at all cost. And so men and women have been dying since then to keep that independence. We are very fond of our independence and our freedom, particularly in this part of the world that we live in. I think it's even stronger than in other places. I don't know. You know, I've lived here so long that I've lived here longer than any other place I've ever lived. It's amazing. This is not where I grew up, but it is. Kay Bedford's back there smiling. Yep, we grew him up. Well, I don't know if you've got it done yet or not. But how does that translate to our spiritual well-being? In a sense, it isn't a fair correlation, okay? I'm going to try to shift this independence and dependence question to the spiritual realm from our independence as a nation. And in doing that, I must admit that we're going to apples and oranges. It's two different things and two different aspects. But it, because we've just celebrated Independence Day, it serves as a catalyst to think about this again within our lives as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, adhering to his teachings, first of all, entering into salvation through faith in him, but then allowing him to change us and do in us his work. How does this factor in? And in a sense, as I said, it isn't fair. They're two different things. I have told us, used this illustration before, but maybe not for a long time. I don't remember. There used to be a carpenter in the area, and when my mom and dad lived down on the other end of the block from me, they had him do some work. He was called Oaky. That was his nickname. His last name was Higgins. Was it Jim? Jim Higgins, yeah. And I think he's gone now. I think he's passed away. I think I read his obituary. Don't quote me on that. But anyway, he was a man that didn't go to this church, but went to a church and was very involved. And when I first met him, he asked, you know, we was talking, of course, I'm a pastor, and I came out and stuff, and the church here and stuff, and he says, what kind of a church is it? And I used the term that I would often use. It is an independent Bible church. That's what I would characterize this church. We're not Baptist or Methodist or any other denomination. In fact, we have no ties to anybody. Boy, we're independent. We signed our Declaration of Independence probably 30 years ago or so. I don't know now what that was, but it wasn't a very strong tie, but we severed our ties. And he says, independent Bible church, he says, aren't we supposed to be dependent? And I've always remembered that. And I understood exactly what he was saying. But again, it's kind of apples and oranges. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that the church has to form a denomination and have a hierarchy above the local church. In the New Testament, we see the local church in Ephesus, in Galatians, as we read from there this morning, throughout Asia Minor, throughout different places within Israel, extending to Rome and so on. I mean, each was an individual church in that particular vicinity. There were no denominations. And now we have so many denominations, even within denominations. They keep splitting and doing this and that and believing just a little bit different here and there. And most of the time it don't amount to a hill of beans. Sometimes it's significant. I understand that. But at this point in our time, this church has no ties to any other hierarchy above us. And I see that personally as being biblical. I see that as being New Testament. Although we are accountable to ourselves and maybe to others around us, that if they would see that your pastor is leading you in a wrong way, that some others might come in and suggest and talk to us about that. But I digress. And when Oki said that, you know, those things went through my mind. But as a individual, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are taught without question that we are to be not independent, but dependent upon Jesus Christ. The only way that you and I are going to go forward spiritually, the only way that you and I are going to stay on the path that God has chosen in such a way that He can manifest Himself in and through us, and that He can grow us into what He wants us to be, and it is a process of going through this and hitting the bumps and all of that and regressing a little bit and whatever, backsliding, we often call it, and getting off track. But the way to continue is total dependence upon Him. And the verse that and it's only a part of our verse. I am in this series, I'm messing up my whole philosophy of preaching so badly because I always talk about the context and getting into passages. This is really bad because it's only a part of the verse. Verse 5 of John 15, the very ending of that verse. This is Jesus speaking, and He says, apart from Me, you can do nothing. That's pretty dramatic. It's pretty dramatic. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. This speaks to you as an individual and to me as an individual, a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, the one who is desirous to do and to accomplish in our lives what God designed for us and He wants to do in and through us, to follow Him, first through salvation. Of course, that's the essential thing that we often talk about. Without giving our hearts and our lives to Jesus and our sin to Jesus and letting Him take that to the cross, without that we have no place to go. That's the starting point. But then to follow Him, to be His disciples, to allow Him to sanctify us, to change us, to do in us what He wants us to do, that takes total dependence upon Him. And this passage, as you remember, talks about an agricultural aspect of the vine and the branches, that He is the vine, He is the main part of the plant, and we are the branches, and it's on the branches that the fruit is born, the fruit is made, that it bears the fruit. That comes from us. And He says, apart from Me, you can't do anything. You can't bear fruit. You can't be what I want you to be and do the things that I want you to do unless you are completely dependent upon Me. And that is an area I believe that we struggle with, at least I do. And let me just talk about this briefly in two aspects. First of all, that we are completely dependent upon Him in everything. Okay? And I know. Well, I do things on my own all the time. Yes, you do. But if God decided to take away all the oxygen, or if God decided to take away the functioning of your body to breathe in, you wouldn't last very long. That oxygen is really important stuff. He gives you the power to live. He created you. He put you here. You know, I ask people so often, how did you ever wind up here? You know, I see Dave and Kathy sitting here. How did you guys ever end up here? Chris and Paula, Jennifer, all of you, but some of the newer ones, how did you end up here? And they say, well, how did you end up here? You know, isn't it amazing how God takes us and brings us to the places in our lives that he does? And Nathan's excited about where he's going to take him in the future. Where are you going to land? Where are you going to land? Are you just going to keep flying around? Huh? I don't know. But we are completely dependent upon him for all source of life. And that will never end. And that includes everyone, whether they come to the realization of that or not. It is there. So I'm not going to spend time there. But the context of this verse is set in this setting of the vine and the branches and them bearing fruit. That's the point of this. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you cannot bear fruit. We read in Galatians 5 this morning about the fruit of the Spirit and what that is. That's the fruit that he wants us to bear. He wants to change us so that those things become what's growing on us and out of us for the world to see and to honor him and for us to enjoy. You know, when it's hot like this, I'm not a big fruit eater. I'm a sugar consumer, right? But one of the things that I do I really like cantaloupe, good cantaloupe, watermelon if it's a good one. But I will take, if we have watermelon or cantaloupe, some kind of a melon, when I eat my lunch, sometimes instead of having my drink there, I'll take a bite of a sandwich or something and then the melon. And it's it's sweet, which I like, if it's good. And it's also the moisture that comes from it. And I really enjoy it. And for most of you, probably, you really enjoy the fruit as well. And I believe that the spiritual fruit that God wants to produce within us can be very enjoyable for us as well. Not only to honor him and to do what he wants us to do, but it's the place that he wants us to be and what he wants to do within us. This is the context. It's very specific for us to bear fruit, but not autonomously, not on ourselves, not by ourselves. How often do you try to do it yourself? As the child says, I want to do it myself. How often do you say to God, I can do this. I don't need you right now. There are times that I have the audacity to stand up here in front of you and think, I know this so well, God, you can take the day off, right? I've got this. I'm okay here. But most of the time, I'm up here pleading with God, help me. I don't know what I'm... If you only knew what happens in my life sometimes. I don't really have a sermon put together this morning, you can already realize. No, I do have, but it was tough getting it put together because of some of the things happening in my life. And so God does that maybe. I blame it on Satan, but I think sometimes God says, okay, I understand that. And now, you know what, Lynn? You're going to have to depend on me. There's none of this I know it all stuff. I've been doing this for how many years stuff. You're going to have to trust me in this. And that's the place that I want to be. That's not sometimes the place I want to be. It's the place I need to be. to be able to bear the kind of fruit to you in the message that is going to be used by the Spirit of God to touch you in different ways. Now, I believe the Spirit of God can touch you no matter what's going on inside of me. But the point is, I don't want to be a bad example. The point is, without Him, we can't bear that fruit. This story that Jesus tells of the vine and the branches, if you're not bearing fruit, pretty soon the farmer comes along and he snaps off that branch, throws it away, because it's not doing anything. It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And we're not going to get into the whole area of security and losing salvation, because I don't believe that happens. This is a different area. But it does attest to the fact that you, and that branch is thrown over here, ultimately may be burned, it says, I think. How much fruit is that branch going to bear over here by itself? Has no chance. Cannot do it. We have to be uniquely, intimately joined to Jesus Christ, the vine, the trunk, to be able to bear the fruit that He wants us to bear within our lives. We cannot do it without Him. So, let me wind it up. One of the issues is that we forget sometimes to be dependent upon Him. And so this is your friendly reminder from your friendly pastor to continue to reassess in your life where you're at and what you're doing. And are you doing a solo thing, an autonomous thing, or are you truly trusting in God to do in you and allowing Him to do in you what He wants to do? We can do it ourselves, and we have that tendency to lean that way. Or we can simply take God for granted, which I do many times. I take Him for granted. God, You're going to take care of it, but see you later. Talk to you later. Just handle it. We do that in relationships. But instead of being just staying there with Him and going through whatever we're going through, we can do it ourselves, we can take Him for granted, or we can stay in that position of being joined to Him and allowing Him to bear fruit within our lives. Understand, to be and to live for Him, you must completely draw from Him. It must come from Him. Apart from Me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for these moments, time to share, for Your word that speaks to our heart, the very words of Jesus that have been given to us through the century. A very difficult thing for us sometimes to keep at the very forefront of who we are as Your children. Father, I just pray that You would continue. And it may be a commitment that we make, but it's a continuing commitment, because life just keeps changing and our attitudes and everything happening within us, that we need to keep abreast of this, that we must keep in touch with this and allow You to be the all in all and completeness within us. May we be dependent upon You. In Jesus' name, amen.